Just tell me, how many married people do we have in the house this morning?
Quite a bit. Okay.
I'm not ministering on marriage, but I wanna tell you something. When Andre and I got married, one of my biggest shocks, okay? He knows about it, so one of the biggest things I had to deal with is how much a man eats. I mean, I hardly spent money on food when I was single. I don't know what I've eaten, but money. Food wasn't really a priority to me. So I haven't really spent a lot of money on food. I would rather buy something that is tangible and I can see it and I can, you know what I mean? Food for me was like a waste. And now I got married to this man, or any man for those of you who are married will know what I'm talking about. And I realized the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. This thing here, okay? That's the way to a man's heart. And I had to make peace with that. I had to make peace that our budget now, my budget, you know, that I was always so focused on, and, you know, I spent my money where I want to spend it. Now all of a sudden, a big portion of our money goes into food that just disappears. I mean, there's nothing. You can't show anything for that, except maybe like excess body fat or something. It's not good in any case. But I had to make a peace with the fact that the way to a man's heart is through stomach. Big thing for me to deal with when we got married. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever thought, what is the way to God's heart? Have you ever thought about that? And obviously we know, we need to please God and we need to love Him and we need to give our hearts to Him. We need to surrender. But what is the way to God's heart? If the way to a man's heart is through his stomach and food's really a priority, what is priority for God? What is the one thing that really pleases God, that gives Him, you know, this thing in life? And obviously, the answer, I suppose, is quite obvious as we're dealing with a month of faith and we're talking about faith and a leap of faith. But the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, without food, it's impossible to please a man, let me tell you. All the single girls, you'll know what I'm talking about one day when you all get married. It's going to happen. And, you know, I had to realize that this faith thing with me and God is something that I can't run away from. I can't run away from faith because that is the one thing that really pleases God. It is the way to His heart. It is the way to God's heart. And I must be honest with you, I never really wanted to minister on faith. I never really ever wanted to talk about faith. I never really wanted to minister on faith because I felt I have too many fears, I have too many issues, I have too many insecurities, I'm not there. You know, when I look at people, it seems as if they have a lot of faith because they just do things for God and they just trust Him and they just, you know, don't care about anything in the world because they trust in the Lord. Then I've often felt so intimidated by that, you know, feeling, oh, Sonika, you have so many fears and insecurities. Do you know what God showed me over the past while is that I don't need a lot of faith. Isn't that good news? We don't need this, you know, awesome faith that we often see in other people, because the Bible says God has given to all of us a measure of faith. Okay, there's a scripture in it's not on the screen, but Romans 12, verse 3. It says, God has given to all of us a measure of faith. He created us with something in us who wants to believe. We want to believe. We can believe. We are going to believe in God. And the Bible talks about a mustard seed. And that mustard seed is enough. And Before I say anything else this morning, I want you to know that the little bit of faith in your heart is enough. Okay, I need you to know that this morning, that you don't need lots of faith. It's like Andre said last week, he said a little bit of faith in God is worth far more than a lot of faith in the wrong thing or in a worldly philosophy. So a little bit of faith in God is more than enough. It's sufficient. It's all that we need. Okay, so that's the good news. Before I say anything else, you need to know that the bit of faith that you have is enough. Okay, so don't feel intimidated when we talk about faith. Don't feel, oh, I'm not there. I just want to run away and dive into bed and pull the duvet over my head and just disappear. Because I can't do this. I can't do this Christian walk. It's too difficult. The little bit of faith that you have, it's more than enough. I studied accounting at Stellenbosch in my previous life. And by the grace of God, I passed my degree and I passed my honors and I got through all of that. But what happened to me is, for those of you who know these kind of exams, you do your finish your honors and then you write two board exams. The first one you write when you start with your articles, and then the second one you write 18 months later after you've done a bit of work. So what happened to me is I failed my first board exam. Very unexpected. It was very hard for me to deal with it. Everybody was surprised, and nobody really expected me to fail. And it was this big thing I had to deal with. I had to get back my confidence and everything. It was a big thing for me to deal with. So what happened is I studied again. You can only write once a year. I studied again a year later in February on study leave. I was in the gym, taking a break in the gym, and a guy from my workplace came to me, said, "Sonika, did you hear what happened?" So he told me the results for the second board exam just came out that morning. Okay, I was on study leave. The second board exam, okay, I haven't even passed the first one yet. Okay? I haven't even passed the first one. Now he comes to me saying, "Sonika, the results for the second one came out this morning and it's shocking. I think like 2 out of 8 people passed." It was bad, bad news for the office, for everybody. You know, and I just walked away. I said to God, "Lord, how am I going to do this? I haven't even passed the first one. Now the results for the second one is just shocking. I can't do this. My faith is nowhere." I was so despondent. I tell you, I went cycling on one of the Fitzies, one of the bicycles. And I said to God, "Lord, I can't do this. I can't study for something that I failed and it seems as everybody else is failing, and now how am I going to do this?" You know, and I somehow in my heart, it wasn't an audible voice, but God spoke to my heart. He said to me, "Sonika, you're going to pass both the first one and the second one this year." And I said, "Lord, is this you speaking? Is this my own idea? Is this my own thought?" It wasn't an audible voice. It was just something in my heart. I was too scared to tell anybody about it. You know, "I'm going to pass." You know, people with lots of faith, you know what they do? They say, "I'm going to pass both exams this year. Just watch the space." You know, that's people with lots of faith do that. In my opinion, I always thought. So I didn't tell anybody about this thing in my heart. I studied. I did my best. I passed the first one, okay? Now the second one comes. I wrote the second one, and the day came for me to go and check my results. You can check it on many different places, but I went to the university because I just wanted to run away if I didn't make it. Just wanted to disappear, because the first one I checked in the office, fully confident that I'm not going to be one of those people who fail. Fully confident, without a car. For those of you who know my car story, I didn't have a car for 9 months. When I started working, sitting there in front of my computer, clicking on the file, looking for my name. That's the first time, okay? Very first time. And the problem with a girl writing exams is there's always an F next to your name for female. Okay, so you can get quite a fright when you check your exam results and there's an F Okay? But there must be two F's for bad news. Praise God. The guys are lucky. Male, M, pass, B. No F's, you know, next to their name. Okay, so the first time I was in the office, you know, it wasn't good for me. Second time, I went to the university so that I can run away. So I checked my results, and I passed. I said, okay, somebody else. I took Andre with me, actually. Please, is this, am I like maybe looking skew here, or is it like not two F's next to my name? So people, I passed. But now, I'm sitting with this thing in my heart where God told me a year ago, it was in February where I studied for part one. It was in February the next year that I got my results for part two. I was sitting with this promise that God gave me that nobody knows about. Okay, maybe I did tell Andre, I can't remember, but I wasn't proclaiming this from the rooftops. I was just hiding this thing in my heart because what if I do not pass both? What? You know, so I was just looking for an opportunity to be alone with the Lord because I knew God gave me a promise in my weakness, in my insecurity, in my state of having absolutely no faith. God gave me something in my heart and it came to pass. And I'm telling you, these exams are terrible. You're right for 5 hours. And I often, you know, would sit after 4 hours and think, they're crazy. How can they do this to us? You know, this is so unfair. How can they make you write for 5 hours and expect you to do this? But, you know, this is the way they do these kind of things. The way they get you out of the way, I suppose. And so it was God. I'm telling you, having my qualification, my degree, is God and God alone. I know that. Because I was so afraid. I was so insecure. I was, after failing the first part, I lost all my confidence at work. And I had to come to a place again of trusting the Lord. And God came through for me, even though I was really not having lots of faith, in my opinion. You know? And that is what I want to encourage you before. That's just my introduction. But sometimes we come to a place where God is our only answer. Okay? Money can't help. All the money in the world can't help you now. Your dad can't help you. Your spouse can't help you. Husband and wife, they can't help you. Nobody, not a family member, nobody can help you with whatever your position is. And maybe you are in a position this morning where you feel, I don't know, nothing can help me. You know, it is a scary place. It's really a scary place to come to a position where God is your only answer. It's very scary, but it's good. It's wonderful. I have so many good memories of, you know, trusting in God, coming to a place of, I'm at the end of myself, I can't do it, nobody can help me. You know what Andre did? He would set his alarm for 45 minutes while I was writing for 5 hours. It's my husband and God got me through those exams, and he would pray for me, set his alarm again for 45, after 45 minutes, prays for me. But you come to the end of yourself and you just know God alone can help you through this financial crisis, sickness, marital problems maybe, or problems in your workplace. Just a position where you know that you know that you know God is the only answer. It's a wonderful place to be. Even though it's scary, it's hard, but it's a wonderful place to be. And I know Andre last week said, I'm so overwhelmed by motherhood, by my boy. You know, I have a friend who has 5 children, good friends of ours, 5 children in 7 years. And I just say to her often, you know, when I'm so despondent and I think, you know, I really need God as a mother, let me tell you. I know many women are awesome mothers and they are just natural, but I need God. And I have one boy. And he's relatively good, you know. But the little bit of challenges sometimes just get me, gets me down. And I often say to my friend, how do you do it? Five children, you know? I think maybe it's good to have five children because you just then let go. I'm one of five. My parents raised five children. And I think maybe, you know, we just need to let go sometimes. I need to let go. I need to just take life easy and trust in the Lord. So I want to give you a definition this morning of faith. Because I think sometimes we get it wrong, you know. Say, for example, I'm sick. Now, many people would go this way. They would say, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm healed in Jesus' name. You know, and then I would look at people like that, having that approach and think, but you are sick. You know, you are sick. Deal with it. You can't now say, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. In Jesus' name, I'm not sick. Okay? That is not faith. Again, I had to figure this out because I often thought that is my problem. I don't have enough faith to just proclaim that I'm healed if I'm sick. Because I couldn't do it because I'm sick. Okay? I'm sick now. Now, another bit of good news this morning. Denial is not faith. Okay? Purely saying that you're not sick when you are sick, that isn't faith. Okay? It's good news because it sets us free. You know what is faith? You have a fact. The fact says, I'm sick. I have a cold. I'm sneezing. My throat is sore and I'm coughing. I'm sick. That is the facts. Okay? Then you get the truth. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus is bigger than the facts. Jesus is bigger and is greater and can do something about this fact. Okay? That is in your face or your financial situation. God is bigger than this. So you get the fact and you get the truth that is above the facts. Okay? That sets me free when I realize this. You don't have to be in denial. You can say, yes, I'm sick, but I serve a God who is greater than sickness. God can do something about this. That is faith. Okay, so you don't have to deny your position. You don't have to be a Christian who just always says, I'm blessed, it's going well, and never never admit that it's hard, that life is tough. You don't have to be like that. So it's good news. We don't have to wear a mask and pretend that everything is fine, but we have to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who is above any circumstance, any fact, any difficulty. Okay, that is faith. So I'm gonna show you a definition on the screen. It says, what is authentic faith? Authentic faith does not deny the obstacle at hand, but declares that God is greater than the obstacle. Okay? It does not deny the obstacle at hand, but declares that God is greater than the obstacle. Authentic faith does not deny that a sickness is in the body, but declares Jesus' ability to heal the body. Amen? Can I get an amen this morning? Hallelujah. Faith does not deny financial need, but acknowledges Jesus' ability to meet our needs. That's good news. Okay, so we do not even focus on the promise. Like that promise that God gave to me about my exams, that I will pass both. Our focus shouldn't even be on the promise itself. Our focus should be on Jesus, on the source of the promise. Okay, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we don't focus on the problem, but we don't deny it either. We don't focus on the promise or on the blessing or whatever God has told us. We focus on Jesus. He's our source. Because that sets us free. That gives us opportunity to say, God, your way, your will, your timing, but I trust in you. Does it make sense to you? Amen. I'm going to take you to a story in the Old Testament. You all know that. But I'm going to show you a few things this morning that I didn't know, and I am sure you didn't know it either. awesome story. You all know the promise that God gave to Abraham, where he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. This is scripture in Genesis 12, verse 12 to 3, where God said, I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. Genesis 15, verse 5, God took him outside in the evening and he said, count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. Okay, cool. That's a great promise. Now, just one little problem with this promise. Okay, you all know the problem. Sarah, his wife, was barren. She couldn't have children. Okay, that's only half the problem. The other bit is she was well advanced in years. So this is not a little problem. This is a massive problem. Okay, it's not as if she was 25 or 30 or 40 even and not having children. She was 80 years old. The Bible says Isaac was born when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. Now, what do you do if God comes to you with this kind of a promise and you think, how on earth is this going to happen? How on earth? Because let me tell you, God will often give you a promise or a desire or something in your heart that you need to fight for. Okay? He wants to use you in an area, or he wants to bless you in an area, wants to do something with your life, but you think, impossible. He wants you to speak in front of many people and you say, God, no way. I'm stuttering. I couldn't even do an oral at school in front of my 30 classmates. How on earth am I going to speak in front of people? You know, like Moses said all these things. When God said to him, go to Pharaoh. Moses said to God, no way, Lord. How is this going to work? So, how do we deal? I'll continue with the story, okay? Because I want to show you a few interesting things. But how do we deal with the time between a promise and the fulfillment of a promise? Especially if it seems impossible, what do we do? Okay, do we just sit back, okay, having a cup of tea with a friend, lying on the beach, watch DVDs, play computer games, and say, God, if this is you, it's in your hands, I'm just going to take life easy. What do we do? Or do we now go all in a mode of, I need to make it happen, I need to make this promise happen, and to go ahead of God like Abraham unfortunately did? He got impatient. And you all know that story, where he had a boy, not with Sarah, but with her bondservant, and it was completely not God's idea, or his timing, or his will for that to happen. Okay, so impatience is the wrong way. We're talking about how do we deal with the promise of God between the time of a promise and the time of the fulfillment of the promise. Okay? Hearing God's voice and making sure that it's actually God speaking to you is another sermon. Because that's also a big thing. How do we know, is this God, isn't this God? But that's for another day. So impatience is the wrong way. I'm not going to spend lots of time on that. We shouldn't become impatient. We shouldn't try to help God. And we need to trust God for His timing and for His way. So what is the right way of dealing with a promise in the context of faith? Remember, we're talking about what is the way to God's heart. What is the way to the Lord's heart? It's faith. And how do we deal with this impossible thing that God tells us it will happen in our lives, but we don't know how? We wait upon the Lord. And I'm going to show you practically how we do that. It will encourage you. It's going to give you a few tools to work with. Micah 7 verse 7 says, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for God, for the God of my salvation. God will hear me. Listen to Isaiah 64. verse 4. It's an awesome scripture. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. Isn't that beautiful? God acts for the one who waits for him. He acts. He makes mountains move. He makes valleys straight. He performs on behalf of you when you wait for him. When I wait for God, he performs. The creator of the universe comes and he performs on behalf of me when we wait for him. So that is the key. Waiting upon the Lord. And I'll show you this morning how we're going to do that. So how did Abraham wait upon God? I know he made a mistake. He was impatient when it came to Ishmael and that whole thing. But he also waited upon the Lord for 10 years. 10 years, people. That's not 10 days. It's not even 10 months. It's 10 years. Romans 4, verse 20 to 21, it says, he did not waver, that's Abraham, at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he, that's God, had promised, he was also able to perform. How did Abraham get this right, to wait for 10 years? How did he get it right? I mean, I just think of 10 years, it's quite a bit of time that you need to trust God for something. How did he do that? Now, let me just finish the story. Because the problem doesn't end with Abraham, okay? God said to him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Wonderful promise. Okay, the first hurdle was Sarah being barren, being very old, but now, great, they got a son, Isaac. Awesome. They got the son. So it's the beginning of a promise, but if you count the stars, you count the sand on the seashore, it's not one boy, hey? It's not one son. That son must get married. And he must have children. And his children must have children. And there must be lots of people coming from Abraham for him to be the father of many nations. Now, let me give you a few other interesting facts around this story. Isaac was a bachelor at the age of 40. How many of you knew that? At 40 years of age, he was still unmarried. Okay? That's good news for all the unmarried people. 40 years, eh? Now, he must first find a wife to now have children, hopefully. Okay? Now, Isaac, praise God, he got a beautiful, the Bible says she was absolutely beautiful, Rebecca. I wish I could, I have a picture of her because the Bible doesn't often say that a woman was beautiful, but she, the Bible says she was beautiful. He got this pretty girl at the age of 40. Now, at the age of 60, 20 years, all right, have passed. At the age of 60, the Bible gives us a very interesting scripture. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about Isaac, unfortunately, but he's one of my Bible heroes. You know, one of my secret Bible heroes, because he didn't mess around with other women. He didn't mess around with his wife's slave girl. He didn't mess around. He was just this faithful, focused guy. I love it. It's awesome. But anyway, at 60, the Bible says Isaac pleaded for God. He pleaded to the Lord for his wife, Rebekah, for she was barren. Did you know that? Rebecca was barren too. And for 20 years, they didn't have children. Now imagine that. God gave this amazing promise to Abraham. There was a huge problem when it came to Sarah falling pregnant at the age of 90 or 80. Or 90 years. There was a huge problem with Rebecca. She couldn't have children either. Now, what kind of God do we serve who gives us a promise and nothing in the natural is working out? You know, we need to fight. It's a battle. How on earth can we struggle so much with this one promise? But God answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah got twins. Okay, Esau and Jacob. You know that story. And then the story actually followed through the life of Jacob. You all know that part. Go and read it in the Old Testament. It's beautiful. Jacob worked for 7 years for a girl named Rachel. He loved her. It's the most romantic story in the Bible, I think. A man working for 7 years to get you. I think it's awesome. Fighting for the woman that he loves. Now he works for 7 years. What happens? A big shock, okay? Shame. I thought my shock was bad, having to deal with a man eating a lot. His shock was, oh my word, this is not Rachel. This is Leah, her older sister. You know, oh, that thing worked. Oh, I still can't figure out. You know, that he only discovered it the next morning. I don't understand this business. But now he says to Laban, sorry, I love Rachel. I mean, how amazing is that? I'll work another 7 years for that girl because I love her. So for 14 years, he works for Rachel. Now, let me tell you another little bit of a problem. Rachel couldn't have children. So I'm telling you, it's not a sickness of our time, women struggling to fall pregnant. It's been there all along. But the first promise that God, even before God said, go and make disciples of all the nations, God said, go and multiply the earth. That was God's first command. So it's his will for us to have children and to multiply. But in any case, Rachel couldn't have children. And in the end, just to finish my story, she had two boys. One was Joseph, you'll remember. The other one was Benjamin. And she died at the birth of Benjamin. Did you know that? Oh, you know, if I look at that story, just they must make a movie of Abram's life. Abram, Isaac, Jacob. It will be an awesome story. But what happened in the end, Joseph was sold. You all know that. And God raised him up, Joseph. He was born from a girl, Rachel, couldn't have children. Okay, remember God's promise that Abram will be the father of many nations. Joseph was born from a woman called Rachel. She couldn't have children. But in the end, God answered her prayers. And Joseph, God used him to save that whole tribe, the 12 tribes. All the children of Jacob were saved by Joseph because God raised him up. So if Sarah didn't have a son, Isaac, if Rebecca didn't have two boys, Jacob and Esau, if Jacob didn't marry Rachel, if he didn't work for another 7 years for that girl, if she didn't have a boy called Joseph, I mean, where would Jesus would have come from, you know? Because Joseph saved all the 12 guys, and Judah was the one that God said, Jesus will come from that tribe. And I think it's such an awesome story. It must encourage us. It must build our faith. We say, God, this is impossible. This thing, I can't do it. It's impossible. But God has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants us to wait upon him. So let's get practical. Okay? Let's get practical. How do we wait upon the Lord? How do we wait upon the Lord? It's so beautiful, Matthew, that scripture you used this morning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, we underestimate that scripture. We all know it. And I think maybe you think, oh, Sonika, it doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I read the Bible, and I don't have faith. Now, I'm going to give you another strategy this morning. All right? You all know the more you sleep, the more you want to sleep. Okay, do you agree with that? Anyone? But the more you exercise, the more you want to exercise, the more energy you have. So you need to let go of some energy, even at opgebruik, and then you receive more energy. Okay? You need to go do spinning. I've never done spinning in my life. I hate cycling, actually. But I think I was just do spinning. You know what? Once a year, let me challenge you a bit. Once a year, I want to drag Andre with me. He doesn't want to do this either. I say to him, let's just do spinning once in our lives. We don't have to do it ever again. We do it once, and then if we don't like it, we just don't do it again. But let's do it once. You have to do one thing at least per year that you have never done before. Go to a gym if you've never done it. Do a marathon. Go on a nice, healthy diet. Do what Hanley says. Just do something you have never done before. But that's not completely off my point. But you know, when it comes to putting some energy into something, you reap back that energy. Okay, we know that principle in the natural. And the Word of God is living and powerful. And the mistake we sometimes make, we just read, or we don't have time this morning, so we read maybe once a week. And I have lots of sympathy with all your work and time in the morning that is limited. I really know that our time in the morning is limited. But I've discovered, even if I have 10 minutes with God, and if I take one scripture and I sit on that and I memorize and I meditate and I get it in my heart, it changes my life. Okay, so what I want to encourage you this morning to do is to confess, to memorize, and to meditate on scripture. There's a scripture in Joshua 1 verse 8 that says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You know, we read lots of books. You know, we read a book, 7 Ways to Success, and 7 Steps to a Good Living, and all those books, which is, I mean, Andre reads more than any person I know, okay? We buy books, and we read books, and it's great. Books are great. But this scripture tells me that success and prosperity lies, our secret and our source is in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. By meditating on scripture. And I think often, you know, I don't do it nearly enough, and I want to. I say, God, make me fit in this area. I want to get fit because I'm lazy. I'm lazy to memorize scripture. And I think back of times in my life where I actively meditated and memorized scripture. It was good times in my life. It was really good times. I could fight the devil. You know, it's another thing Matty said this morning, that the Word of God is our sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. Now, if we do not know how to use the sword, or if our sword is lying on the shelf somewhere, the devil is going to come for you. So, the next 5 minutes before we finish, I need your help. I know it's hot, but we're going to do this right now. Okay? If the devil comes for us in the area of fear, okay? How many of you have ever feared something? Are you still all awake? Praise God. We all fear from time to time. That's not the problem. Fear is not the problem. The way we handle it and the way we fight it is the problem. And I just want to, before we're going to do this now practically, think back of Jesus. He had a fast for 40 days in Matthew. The story, Matthew 4, I think. The story about Jesus fasting for 40 days. 40 days. Now he goes into the wilderness. Now the devil comes for him. How does he fight the devil? Scripture. Okay? That is the way we fight the devil. That is our sword. It's a tool God has given us. And now the fear comes. What do we do? We go to 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and there are many scriptures. Get yourself 2 or 3 scriptures, know it off by heart. Know it off by heart, and when the fear comes, you're ready. Okay, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what I want us to do, we're going to say, for God has not given me a spirit of fear. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, let's do it again. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Well, you remember that scripture. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when fear comes, you say, sorry, fear, here's my sword. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. Back off. Back off. You can take your handbag or whatever, you know. You get active. Okay, finances. There's lots of scripture about finances. Let's quote this one, Philippians 4:19. Do it with me. And God, my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, let's make it my need. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if a financial crisis comes, even if you know nothing else in the Bible, you know that scripture. And my God shall supply all my needs. That's your weapon. You say, back off, fear. I'm going to build my faith. I'm going to fight this fight of faith. For we do not walk by sight. Hey, we walk by faith. The unknown. You have a new job. It's a new town. Everything is new. You have challenges of the unknown. You do not know. Can I do it? Can I not? What is lying ahead? Psalm 23 verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. No matter where you go, no matter what you need to do, God's goodness and his mercy will follow you. You just go. You do what you need to do. And God's goodness and his mercy, they are right behind you. They like pom-pom girls, okay, cheering you on. So you can do it. You can do it. I'm here with you. So let's say this one. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It builds your faith. You know, Andre is challenging me on this. He says, Sonika, just get in the word, memorize scripture. It changed my life. You know, I said to him at the beginning of the year, because when we're on holiday, you know, and you have a baby, I can't even imagine raising 5 children all under the age of 7 at this stage in my life. But when you have a baby, holidays are not exactly the same anymore. You can't just do what you want. So, and obviously I had good times with God, but I said to Andre when we got back, I mean, I had awesome times and I'm peaceful and I'm relaxed and I'm ready for the year, but I do not feel as close to God and as into the Word as he proclaims to be. And I said to him, I'm not there. And he said to me, you know what? Just take a few scriptures, meditate, memorize. And I did that this week. It was awesome. I just said, I'll take any scripture. I don't care what it is, you know. And I think in this week I've memorized, I went back to old scriptures that I've memorized. And I like just like sharpen it up a little bit. And I feel like a new person. Really, it will enhance. It will add to your life. Sickness. Let's take the last one. Then I'm going to finish. Sickness. Psalm 103. Verse 2 to 3. Let's read with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Let's do it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, the only thing that the devil can do now when you use your sword, he can tell you, you know, you're such a hypocrite because you don't believe what you just quoted. And then you just give him another backhand. You know, you say, back off, devil. It's not my faith. My faith is in Jesus. Whether I believe this or not, the more I say it, the more I will believe it. Okay, so don't, by the first attempt of quoting a scripture, let allow the devil to now come and tell you that you're a hypocrite and you don't have enough faith, so it's not going to work in any case. Okay, chase him away. Quote that scripture 10 times, and then by the 10th time, I'm telling you, you will believe what you're saying. Okay, don't allow the devil to come and steal your faith, because that mustard seed faith in your heart is enough. It's more than enough. We just need to exercise that. Okay, we just need to exercise. And the second thing, I'm just going to give you two things this morning. Meditate, memorize, confess scripture. Okay, I want you to commit to take 5 scriptures. Take something you've known all your life. It doesn't matter. You don't have to now go and seek for a new something. The Word of God is living and powerful. Psalm 23, God is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't mean that because everybody knows it and it's old and I'm supposed to know it, that it doesn't have power. It does. It works. Second thing, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture in Jude 20 that says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How do we build up our faith? Praying in the Holy Spirit. And if you do not know what I'm talking about, please join us for Bible school. Please join us for our perspective seminar. When we do that, we explain to you lots about the Holy Spirit. But I just know in my life, when I meditate and memorize scripture and when I pray in the Holy Spirit, you can do that on your way to work. You can do that in the shower. You can pray all the time in the Holy Spirit. It builds up your faith. So we don't need lots of faith, people. God has given to us a measure of faith, to all of us. And whether you feel as if you have lots of faith or enough faith, that is not the issue. Okay, we should move away from our feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings, not by emotions. And I know what it is to walk by emotions and feelings. I'm telling you, I'm as guilty or as, you know, I struggle as much as anybody else. But I just know that this works for me. Praying in the Holy Spirit, meditating on Scripture, it really works. It will build your faith. It will make you strong. It will make you strong. As you can, like in Joshua 1, where God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God wouldn't have told Joshua to be strong and courageous if he was strong and courageous. He obviously needed that. Okay? We look at all these biblical or Bible heroes and we think they were so amazing. They just needed faith and encouragement like all of us. We're all in the same boat. We just need to work with God, what God has given us, and make it work for us. Amen. So let's just stand.
Good preaching. Can I have an amen? Amen. You need to hear that. Do you know that exercise is good for you? Would you agree? Who agrees that exercise is good for you? Okay. Who would like to exercise 7 days a week, be top of your game? All the guys have your abs in order, muscles, biceps, everything there. All the ladies, everything where you wanted to be or not wanting to be there. Who would like to be on top of their game? Anybody? Okay. You're going to feel good. Would you agree? It's good for us. Exercise is good for us. But the Bible says that physical exercise profits how much? Little. It's good to get exercise. But to get spiritually fit, that works. So I want to encourage you this year. Guys, let's aim for spiritual growth. Why? Because then you have peace, you have joy, and you can do the will of God, and you can live life. And you can, like that picture, you can go for those leaps of faith. Our aim as a church is to raise up Christians that know God, who live the life. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. We're not here just to have you be blessed on a Sunday and then you struggle out there. We want you to overcome every challenge. How? Get into the Word and get into the place of prayer. It's a good start, and the rest is going to come. So I want to encourage you. to do that. Okay. And then just last thing. Do you know that God is everywhere, all the time? Do you know that God is everywhere, all the time? In other words, He's all powerful and He is everywhere, all the time. Doesn't matter where you go, God is there. But you, every day, in every moment of every day, you have to make a decision. Am I going to turn to Him and have life and fullness and light? I'm going to turn my back on Him and have confusion and darkness and meaninglessness. Because every day, in every moment of every day, you have that decision to make. Am I going to turn to God with everything within me, or am I going to turn my back on Him through my decisions and through the way I live? It's your choice. Full life, all light, or complete darkness. It's your choice. And every day it's your choice. If you are a believer here this morning, every day you have to make the decision. And if you're not a believer this morning, you have that opportunity right now to make a decision to turn to Christ with all your heart. It's a decision. It's a turning to Him. And as we were worshiping, I felt God whisper this to my heart. He said, I am the Lord of the storm. I am the Lord of the storm. I am the Lord of, if there's confusion, I am the Lord over it. And I just felt that's a word for somebody here. Maybe you're going through a massive trial or challenge. Know that God is the Lord over that storm. And if you would just get one or two scriptures in your heart and start believing it, you're going to start seeing it, that God is Lord. So that's my encouragement for you. If we can just close our eyes just for a moment. If you are going through a storm and you feel that that word I just shared is for you, that God is the Lord of the storm, would you maybe raise your hand? Just want to pray for you. Okay. You can drop your hand again. Thank you. And then I also want to ask if there's anybody here and you just feel that you've been turning your back on God over and over and over again in a certain area of your life, but you now want to turn back to Him. You want to no longer turn your back to Him, but you want to turn your face to Him and surrender this to Him. If there's any area in your life that you feel that you have not been surrendering it to God, but you have turned your back on Him in that area, would you maybe raise your hand? Just as a sign of saying, God, I want to surrender that to You today. I want to know the light and the peace and the joy and the fullness of life. God, we worship You. And I so want to encourage you this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ, it just takes a whisper from your lips to say, God, Jesus, I'm turning to You. I'm a mess. There is no meaning to this life outside of God. You can just turn to Him and say, Lord, I'm in my heart, I'm turning to You right now. I'm surrendering all of myself. Come and live in me. Can I ask, as our eyes are closed, if there's anybody like that, you just realize you need, you're walking outside of a relationship with God, but you realize you should turn to Him. If there's anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? It took me a church service like this to raise my hand, to have my life completely transformed. It just takes a simple step to have your life changed. Okay. Can I ask those, if you raised your hand, there's about 10, 12 people. Would you be so kind just to come forward, all of you, that if you feel there's something you need to surrender to God, or you're going through a storm, if that's you, just come and stand. You want to pray with you. Can some of the usher, the counselors also just come forward, and we're going to pray with you. Just take the step. It's this wonderful time to sit around, be with believers, and bring these things before the Lord. Can I just have some of our prayers or counselors to come and stand with some of these people? We really want to make it a culture of responding to God in times like this. As the band is playing, the word has just been ministered, and we're putting out our faith for lives to be changed. If you need prayer for anything else, you're also welcome to come forward. Dane and Ashley, would you come and pray? Yentl, you can come and pray with somebody. Just step out. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for the plan that you have for this year, Lord God. For believers, for Christians to no longer be where they were, but to move closer to you, to move into a place of more intimacy with you, to step out of our comfort zones, Lord God. And even in the midst of the storm, to find joy, to find peace, to find strength in our living God, because you are everywhere all the time. And God, we declare this morning, you are greater than the storm. God, we declare this morning, you are greater than the challenges in our lives. God, we declare that you are greater than the mountain standing before us. God, you are greater than the sins that may beset us. God, we declare you are greater than the guilt and the condemnation that might be attacking our hearts and our thoughts. God, we declare that your love is greater. Let's just take a moment and just declare that. Just say that in your own words. God, you are greater. Just say that. Whatever that mountain, whatever that obstacle, whatever challenge in your heart, God is greater. Just say that. God, you are greater, and then you name it, you say it. God, you are greater than this. You are greater than my lack. You are greater than my confusion. You are greater. God, you are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the creator of heaven and earth. If you can make a billion planets, God, surely you can provide. Surely you can set me free from my sin. Surely you can bring peace into my heart. Surely you can bring a substance and foundation and a rock upon which I can stand, and so the storms can come, but I will stand. God, surely you are greater than my work and the challenges at work. Lord, we bless you. We bless you. And God, so this day we bring our hearts before you. We bring our hearts before you, Lord. And we ask you to come and heal. And as I prayed last week, God, I prayed again that the seed of faith will be planted in our hearts. The seed of faith will be planted. God, we just throw it out right now in the Spirit. Seed of faith to believe despite the opposition. To believe. God, we worship you. You are the Lord of the storm. You are the Lord of the storm. You are the Lord of glory. You are the God of glory. You are the God of all might. You are the God. So, Father, we pray this morning for revival in our hearts, in our spirit, man. We say, Spirit, man, stand up. Let's just listen to what God wants to speak to our hearts. Let's just listen. Just listen to what the Spirit would whisper. Just listen. God wants to speak to you. I just feel in my heart that the Lord is saying He's going to bring an awakening. An awakening in our hearts. I feel the Lord is saying we're going to fall in love with Him like never before. I feel God is saying to us, I'm going to be your passion. There's this beautiful scripture that says, for I've set the Lord always before me. Psalm 16. I've set the Lord always before me. And when you put Jesus before you, you can't help but fall in love with Him. So God, we pray this morning that this awakening would come and that we would put Jesus before us always. That we would see Jesus, love Jesus, pursue Jesus. There is none like you, Lord. None as beautiful, none as worthy, none as loving, none as kind, none as faithful. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just speak to the Lord where you're standing or sitting and just say, God, I put you before me. I put you before me in my mind's eye. I put you before me in my thoughts. I put you before me in my soul. Put you always before. God causes us to fall in love with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the awakening, the stirring. There is nothing like knowing Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray with those who are standing there. You can just stand before them. You can maybe sit somewhere if you want to. Just pray with him.